Beautiful people, you are now listening to The Reframe with me, your host, Tracy Thomas Brown. Around here, we talk about life as it is and life as it could be. This podcast is your permission slip to pause, to question the script, and for us to rewrite our story on our own terms, in our own voice, with the kind of freedom that actually fits. Welcome. Welcome, beautiful people, and thank you for coming to another episode of The Reframe. Today, I want to reframe this idea of the snapback. I want to talk about our bodies, our expectations of them, and rethinking this idea of this snapback culture. So let me take it back a little bit. When I was a kid, my nickname was Megzo. In Creole, Meg is skinny. Caribbean people like to identify you as your most defining feature. And for me, it was the fact that I was skinny. As I got a little older, when I hit puberty, that was no longer the case. And you know, your girl put on a little chunk and got super tall. And my shoe size from the time I was 7 was the same as my age. So when I was 7, I was a size 7. When I was 8, I was size 8. And these are adult sizes. And I was always one of the tallest girls in my class. And this was before the days of Sheen and Justice and Delia's and all those little stores that we had in the mall in the early 2000s that had, you know, all those cute clothes for girls and tweens. Like, we didn't have that in the late 1900s. That didn't exist in the 90s. So once you were out of children's sizes, you just had to go shop at the same stores that your mom was shopping at. And so there are plenty of pictures of me floating around where I'm looking hella matronly in some outfit that my mama had to get me from the ladies section of Lord & Taylor. So all of that to say, for most of my life, I have had a body type that was not conventional. I did not look like the girls in the magazines. I did not look like the girls on TV. And thankfully, I had a few saving graces that kept me from having major issues around that. The first thing that saved me was that I come from a family of large, beautiful women. So some of the same aunties who were commenting on my size and telling me how big I got were not so petite themselves, but I saw them as graceful and beautiful. And for me, I was one of them. I fit in with my family. We were all tall. We were all, quote unquote, big boned is what we used to say back in the day. Nobody was a size 2, but there was a beauty that resonated with me that gave me a sense of pride in who we were and that this was the people that I came from. Another saving grace was in high school, I'll never forget, a group of us girls were hanging out after school, talking, chilling, and doing what women can often do when we get together. Basically body shaming ourselves, complaining about all the things that we wanted to change, all the things that weren't right, all of the body parts that we wanted to be different. And this one older girl, I will never forget her. Shout out to Ato for Maple Shade. If you happen to randomly hear this podcast, please know that you actually changed my life that day. Ato was like, we don't talk about ourselves like that. And it was kind of like a record scratch. Like, wait, what? We don't? And she said it so clearly and confidently that I believed her. And I was like, oh, you know what? You're right. We don't. And we're not going to. And she herself was not the model of what television would hold up as the perfect girl. But the fact that she was so clear about who she was and so confident that she didn't play about that, 13-year-old me was like, sign me up. I'll have what she's having. And that really laid the groundwork for my confidence through my teen years and through my 20s. And that is not to say that I never complained about things that I wanted to change or the things I saw as wrong with my body. But publicly, my outward expression was to own who I was and not to let on to anybody what shortcomings I may have thought I had. And I think the final thing that really shifted my perspective on my body was watching my mother battle cancer and watching how cancer ravaged her body and took her from being a brick house, from a powerhouse, strong, full-bodied woman. And it literally, pound by pound, took the life out of her. And as she got smaller, so did her force. And it was the most clear example I saw that skinny and small is not always best. And skinny and small does not always mean healthy and does not mean good. And it taught me that the body is so much more than the size. It's survival, it's resilience, it's dignity, it's being able to have the capacity and power to care for yourself and to heal yourself. And yet none of these things kept me completely safe or insulated from society's insistence that all women's bodies should be small bodies, that all women should constantly be in the state of shrinking their bodies. Even the conversations with the smartest, most successful women often quickly devolve into conversations about weight. Check it out. The next time you're with your girls, just listen to see how long before somebody makes a comment about something that's wrong with their physicality, especially in this day and age when everybody is getting chopped and screwed and can just go hop on a table and transform themselves to look any way they want to look. And that's no judgment to folks' choices, but I'm just speaking to the place from where those choices come from. Like, what is even plants these ideas in our heads that the way we are built and the way we were designed by God or spirit or the universe or whatever you want to call it, that the way we came out on this planet, there's something wrong with that. And, you know, some people might hear this and say, but, you know, Tracy, but what about being healthy and, you know, being obese is unhealthy and being fat? There's, you know, so many complications. And this is not a question about health. Because the conversations around weight and our bodies and all the shaming often happens over drinks and over fried food and appetizers, right? These conversations are usually not about how much can we lift or how long can we run or other actual markers of good health. They're usually focused on this elusive disappearing of our bodies, boobs that are too small, hips that are too big, thighs that, you know, are rubbing or not meeting. There's this chasing of this mythical perfect size that for Black and brown women was never based on our body types and how we were designed. You know, I'm in my 40s now. Ooh, I could say that my birthday just passed. I'm in my 40s, not just 40. I'm in my 40s now. My friends and I looking at pictures of ourselves in our 30s and wishing our bodies looked like they did then. But then when we were in our 30s, looking at our body when we were in 20s and wish, and this, and there's never a time when we're just looking at ourselves and going, yep, that's it. Like, I am her. You know, just because I exist, not because I am fitting in the right size because I'm a perfect body, but it's like, yo, I'm alive, I'm breathing, I'm here, I am her, right? And that's not the common conversation. So I'm grateful in many ways that I've spent my life always kind of out of the reach of this conventional idea of beauty, because it has allowed me for the most part to stop the chase, knowing that like, I'm not going to look like the hip hop definition of a fly girl. Like, that's not ever going to be me, you know? And I'm at peace with that, because maybe for people who are just outside of it, like they got the color, they got the hair, they got the height, and all they have to do is lose 10 pounds and they could be that girl. It might be harder for them. But for me, it was like, I'm going to be too tall. My bones too big. My hair ain't that straight. My skin ain't that light. I'm not going to be it. And so that gave me permission to just exist, as I came to this planet. And that wasn't always an easy stance to take when so much of this conversation makes judging ourselves and wanting to redesign ourselves almost impossible to avoid. Fortunately, as I got older and as I started just trying to shift the constant barrage of negative imagery and conversation and judgment around bodies, I started hearing other perspectives that really grounded me and that offered me an alternative place to look that I think really gave me peace. One of them being Adrienne Marie Brown, who's just this dope thinker, writer, feeler. And she has tattoos under her forearms, one of an elephant and one of a cow. And I heard her talk about how majestic and powerful those creatures are. And in nature, the larger the animal, the more it's celebrated, the more it's revered, the more it's feared. Like, nobody's out here messing with elephants. Hippos are live action tanks, right? And nobody's out here messing with them. People respect them. Humans and other animals do. And if we can see animals that way, why not people in larger bodies too? Then I came across a person that goes by the Fat Sex Therapist on Instagram. And they talked about our bodies as genetic codes, that our bodies are literally living connections to our ancestors. And that resonated deeply with me, particularly after my mom passed. And it just got me thinking, like, what stories do the women in my family's bodies hold? What wisdom is passed down through flesh and bone? It reminded me of how much seeing the beauty of the women in my family made me comfortable in my own skin as a child. And that we spend so much time in opposition to our bodies that we don't listen to it, that we don't say, thank you for keeping me alive. Thank you for breathing. Thank you for the fact that my heart pumps without me having to try. For most people listening, we are living, surviving, breathing without chronic illness, without having to rely on a ventilator to breathe, without having to rely on a machine to make our heart pump. And yet the only thing that we, for the most part, say or do about our bodies is what's wrong. And so, you know, thinking about our bodies as this like living legacy and connection to the ancestors, it got me connected to what is the ancestral wisdom of my body allowing me to learn? What is it here to teach me? What is it here to show me? And realizing that when we look at our bodies and we look at our mother's bodies, our aunt's bodies, we can see the stories of the women in every generation. The shape of our bellies shows us how stressed we are. Where we carry our weight shows us something about how we are experiencing life. All of these things are information, right? Are things that we can actually use to shift ourselves internally. But we lose all of that and we miss it when we're looking at our bodies from a completely superficial lens. Instead of asking, what is this revealing to me? What is this trying to show me? When I got pregnant, it was an absolute kind of mind beep. When for the first time in my life, people were celebrating the fact that I was getting bigger. And people were actively, you know, wanting to look at my stomach and feel my stomach and, you know, looking for the pregnant belly and oohing and eyeing over it. And ironically, I actually only gained 15 pounds during my pregnancy. My stomach didn't actually look that different than when I wasn't pregnant. No, I always had my little pooch. So it looked almost the exact same, but suddenly people were like thrilled about my body. Being in a bigger body, your size is either the point of ridicule or it's ignored, right? So when people who are smaller than you are having these conversations about how they want to lose weight and how much they can't stand, how much weight they've gained, you as a person in a bigger body are not included in that conversation. They don't even realize that it might be offensive that they're talking about fatness as if it's a plague or like a, you know, like a dirty word when they are in the presence of a fat person or a big person or whatever you want to call it. Suddenly it was okay for my weight to be a part of the conversation. There was celebration around my body. It was okay for me to eat what I want, and it was okay if my body got bigger. It was celebrated. Without judgment, what it gave me space to do was get deeply connected to my body in a way that wasn't about what it looked like. And given the history of miscarriage in my family, given my age when I got pregnant, being a Black woman and all the scary ass stories about Black maternal health, the fact that I was growing a human and I kept the human alive long enough to deliver it full term without medication, you can't tell me nothing about my body ever again. Being able to tap into my body like that, even during the delivery, and I'll do a whole nother episode on the birth story, but being able to deliver a child without medication and the way that delivery happened was me getting into my body and connecting and being able to deliver without tearing, without pain. Well, it was some pain, but without tearing, without having to be told from the doctors and midwives what to do. My body knew. And I believe that it came from 9 months of just letting my body be. And finally, from the outside world, being told to avoid stress, to eat what I wanted, to rest. Shout out to Black women and being able to rest, right? I was encouraged, supported in resting. And so for once, I didn't have to try to force my body into submission. And it just did the most amazing thing that my body has ever done. And it was such a spiritual lesson, but it reminded me that some of the most powerful growth we experience doesn't come from forcing or exerting or pushing ourselves to be something different. It comes just from being. Here's what I want you to take with you. Your body is not just about how it looks today. It is a living record of what you've survived, of what you've carried, and what you're passing on. My invitation to you is this: to pause and think about the story that your body tells. What wisdom from your ancestors does it hold? What future does it make possible? Whether you're in a small body, a large body, or somewhere in between, your body is not just an ornament. It's an archive. It's a teacher. It's a miracle. So next time somebody tells you about snapping back or what you need to do with your body or going to the gym to achieve a specific look, remember and listen. That's the episode for today, y'all. Thank you again for joining me. As always, take the fish, leave the bones. Love y'all for listening. Till next time.